ShareCare is the leading online health and wellness engagement platform, providing millions of consumers with a personal, results-oriented experience by connecting them to the most qualified health resources and programs they need to improve their health. It's time now for ShareCare Radio on RadioMD.com. Here's your host, Dr. Daria.
Hi, it's Dr. Daria. Welcome back. Don't forget, all the segments we talk about today can be found on demand at RadioMD.com, as well as on iTunes as podcast. So first, as always, let's jump into the health news of the week. First off, I wanted to give everyone an update on the Nepal earthquake, and this was about that devastating earthquake that hit Nepal on Saturday. The official death toll has passed 5,000, while the Prime Minister of Nepal warns that the number could double to 10,000. The UN estimates that 8 million people have been affected by the earthquake, and the World Food Program says 1.4 million people are in need of immediate help. Terrible weather, such as thunderstorms and heavy rain, have only continued since the quake, and getting aid to the really remote communities, because there are so many remote communities in this area of the world, that has made the solution particularly challenging. So we'll continue to monitor that and see how the aid is going and the numbers, and hopefully they won't continue to climb too much higher. Another interesting story that's been in the news, and that is out of China. You may have heard it's about scientists genetically modifying human embryos. So scientists in China have genetically modified these human embryos. It's really a first, and really reignited the debate over ethics and the safety of genetic therapies and the potential to prevent human disease, but the slippery slope as to where that can go further. So the scientists actually used faulty IVF embryos from local fertility clinics. Now, these were embryos that were incapable of producing healthy babies because of a variety of problems, so they were not implanted in women. And then once the modifications were made. Now, they were trying to correct the gene that causes a life-threatening blood disorder, beta thalassemia. The procedure worked properly, but in a very small number of embryos. So the project was stopped because they were saying that it was too immature and they weren't able to give good results from it. But it really, again, brings us closer and closer to that threshold at which point we're going to be able to genetically modify embryos. And it's going to continue to ignite ethics conversations as to how far we should be able to go when science gives us the ability to go further than ethics would allow. So I'm sure we will keep talking about it, and I will keep you posted. Now, another paper wasn't so much a study, but it was an editorial, and it was an editorial in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, and it talks about how exercise is important for weight loss, but diet rules, specifically when it comes to carbs and sugars. Now, the authors editorialized and said that you really cannot outrun a bad diet. And they emphasize that while physical activity is crucial for our health, and it really is, I don't want to minimize that, it reduces your risk of heart disease, diabetes, dementia, and some cancers by at least 30%. But it is secondary to diet when it comes to weight loss. And they stated that the obesity epidemic is really not driven primarily by a lack of exercise. The number one driver is our nutrition. They said, in fact, for every 150 calories extra of sugar, there is an 11 times higher chance of diabetes, comparing to get those calories from protein or even fat. That's independent of somebody's weight or their activity level. It comes down to where are those calories, how many extra calories, and even where are they coming from, so carbs and sugars. So what's the takeaway? I've said this for a while. You know, we really can't overcompensate a bad diet no matter how much we exercise, even if you are Lance Armstrong. It takes so much exercise and time to burn off the calories. Think about it. If you have a bagel that can be anywhere from 300 to 400 calories, you can eat that bagel in, if you're me, just a few minutes, and you've already consumed 300 to 400 calories. Now, for me to burn 300 to 400 calories, I have to go run. Running 3 to 4 miles, which is going to take me 25 to 30 minutes, and that's just to burn off that one bagel I ate. So you really have to look at it in context. It is a lot easier to consume higher calories than it is to burn them. So don't give up on exercise. Absolutely do it. But for weight loss, you really have to focus on diet, and we cannot turn a blind eye to what we're putting in our bodies if we're trying to lose weight and for health overall. another study on what we're putting in our bodies, and that's about mushrooms. So if you're a big mushroom fan like me, this is great news for you. This is a study from the University of Florida, and it showed the increased immunity in people who ate a cooked shiitake mushroom every day for 4 weeks. Now, shiitake mushrooms are native to Asia, and they're used for cooking and medicinal purposes. And there's over thousands of mushroom varieties globally, but there's only about 20 used for culinary purposes. And in this study, they did it in healthy adults ages 21 to 41. And it was a small study. There were just 52 people, and they gave them a 4-week supply of dry shiitake mushrooms. Now, participants ate 1 4-ounce serving of mushrooms every day during the experiment, and the researchers saw better functioning delta T cells and reduction in inflammatory proteins from the blood test taken before and after the experiment. So what's the outcome? Don't replace something, but if you want to eat some extra mushrooms in your diet, you know, add them to your dinner tonight, add them to a salad tomorrow. It could be beneficial, could help your immunity, and it's going to give you that extra kick, and it's great for flavor too. Now, moving on to another one that was about supplements, and we've talked a lot about supplements before and the questionable value of many of the supplements that are on the market. Now, this one was out of the University of Colorado Cancer Center, and it found that over-the-counter supplements may actually increase cancer risk if they are taken in excess of the recommended dietary amount. So again, the premise here with supplements is they can be, anything can be dangerous when you take too much of it. So the research started after observations that people who consumed more fruits and vegetables reduced cancer risk, which we have seen, but they wanted to see if taking extra vitamins and minerals could do the same. The study observed thousands of patients for 10 years who were taking dietary supplements and placebo. So they found that the supplements were not beneficial to health, and some people actually got more cancer while on the vitamins. One trial found that taking more beta-carotene supplements than recommended increased the risk of developing lung cancer and heart disease by 20%. Another trial found that taking more folic acid, which the participants had thought it may help reduce the number of polyps in the colon, again, if you're taking more than recommended, could actually increase the number of polyps found. So again, what's the takeaway here? I'm not telling people not to take multivitamins. Multivitamins can be good for your health if taken at the recommended dose, but can be dangerous if you take them well above the recommended dose. You really can have too much of a good thing. And again, nothing is going to be able to substitute for a very healthy and nutritionally balanced diet, which is going to give you the format of the vitamins and minerals in the very best healthy form that your body can take them in. Now, we've recently come through the Great Recession of 2008, and one study looked at what was the mental health impact of that. So a Loyola University health system study published in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry found that the prevalence of major depression increased from 2005 to 2006 up to 2009 and even further in 2011 and 12. Now, they looked at data from 24,000 adults during this time, and they looked at the depression criteria, which included depressed mood or irritability, decreased interest or pleasure in activities, feeling worthlessness, feeling guilt, even thoughts of suicide, and fatigue or loss of energy. You know, what's the key takeaway is that we really do have to pay attention to the world around us and its potential impact, not just on our physical health, but on our mental health. And many people, when they're going through times of financial stress, it's good to acknowledge that it can truly lead to depression. If you know somebody who's going through really hard financial stress times, pay attention. If you see that they have these signs of depression, offer them help and lend a support. Know that they are potentially at risk for depression. Lastly, I just want to touch on a study that recently came out about the danger of using car seats, swings, and sleep carrying devices for a sleeping infant. And we'll talk more about this next week. Just touch on it about the importance of if you are using these devices for letting your child sleep, you only should use it when supervised and only as directed. It's really potentially a dangerous idea to put your child and leave them in a car seat on the floor or in a swing just to get them to sleep. Best place to have your child sleep is in the crib. Without any loose-fitting sheets, that is where they will be very safest. We'll talk more about that next week. And there you have it, the top health news you'll need to know for the week. For more health news throughout the week, follow me on Twitter at my handle, at Dr. Daria. You can also follow us at ShareCare Inc. And remember, you can download this at RadioMD.com. You're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for tuning in and stay well.